Today is a big day in Houston sports. The Astros have signed Alex Bregman to a big contract extension. 5 years, $100 million. The Texans have signed a backup quarterback, A.J. McCarron, to a $3 million deal as well. Let's start with Alex Bregman. 5 years, $100 million. This is a great move.
It's a really, really, really good move with shades of, I guess, it makes me feel good about the Astros organization. I want to say, when it was first reported that it was 6 years, $100 million, I actually felt like maybe Bregman was settling for a little too little. And then somehow the 5 years, $100 million, I thought, all right, well, this is perfect. He'll never be unhappy with that. This gets him to free agency while he's still 1 year younger than if it had been 6 years. And you've locked Alex Bregman up with peacefulness on through the next through 5 years. I feel very good about this.
Honestly, they're a bunch of betas. Mike Trout paid $430 million yesterday, and the Astros only pay Alex Bregman $100 million. Seriously, great move. You get great it locked move. Down. You get it taken care of. You don't have to worry about it. I mean, at the beginning of spring training, Alex Bregman had talked about how he wasn't happy with the very minimal raise that he was going to get, which we're talking about $100,000 when he was a top five MVP candidate this past season in the American League. This resolves everything.
I kind of wish, though, that it had gotten to the point where it did with J.J. Watt, where you remember when J.J. broke that tackling sled during Hard Knocks, and he made some little comment about how he can't afford that.
It was the year before, but still, point taken, 2014.
It was the year before he actually got the deal?
It was
the year before Hard Knocks.
Yes, the year before Hard Knocks.
They were out in combined practices somewhere.
It was in Denver.
He broke the team's tackling sled, or blocking sled, and he made a little offhanded comment about it. And that's what Bregman did, just a little offhanded comment here and there about how he might not be happy with his contract situation.
And this was only a week ago. And that was actually something that over the last 6 days I was thinking to myself, was I not harsh enough on the Astros for not willing to give Alex Bregman an extra 400, 500 grand? I actually had like a, not a crisis of confidence, but I actually thought to myself, should I have been more critical? Why didn't they just give him more money? And then they turn around a week later and they give him $100 million, rendering the $500,000 totally useless.
We should go from wondering whether Jim Crane will ever spend enough money as we did a few years ago to now wondering, is Jim Crane not a tough enough negotiator? Alex Bregman wanted a few $100,000 extra. You gave him $100 million. Look, this is the second highest renegotiation pre-free agency ever after Mike Trout.
Yep.
And with a lot of good reason. You have a young player that's outperformed a whole bunch of historical third basemen and has all, like, you check off all the boxes in terms of work ethic, personality, how do his teammates feel about him, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it just makes a whole lot of sense in a lot of ways. And this is in this era where I think we've put the fears of collusion to rest. After Mike Trout gets that ridiculous contract he does the other day, teams are just getting smarter about free agency, and they don't want to go out and spend huge, huge money on guys that are going to be 35 at the end of their contracts. So you do the smarter thing, which is before you even get to that point, before you get to that crossroads, lock a guy up at a very reasonable salary, and so be it. I guess the biggest question it raises in my mind is, what does it do for guys like Correa or Springer or other guys in terms of what their expectations are?
What does it do in terms of Correa and Springer?
And I mean, those are very easy answers from our perspective. Like, we say, well, Correa, you haven't been healthy in 2 years.
Yes.
Springer, you're not performing at that same level. But does it create questions in those guys' minds? Like, when is my turn? Why is this not happening for me?
Well, if you're Correa, you're definitely going to be thinking that, right? Yeah. I mean, you're happy for your friend, but you're probably thinking, hey, when's my $100 million or $150 or $200 coming? And the answer is that he's got to stay healthy for at least a full season, most likely two, for that to be a realistic consideration. I mean, he just has to, because he's coming off not a great season in which he was bad the second half of the season. I attribute that exclusively to having a back injury. But, yeah, there's no doubt, and with Correa, that he has to prove it more on the field to be worthy of this kind of deal. And Springer, I think, is in a tougher spot just because, I mean, he's way older than these guys.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And
right.
So Springer was bought out the last 2 years of arbitration. He's 29. He's got 2 years left. I don't know if he's going to be part of the long term of this franchise.
The real big key, I think, is that you need to make sure you take care of this before all of these contracts end up biting you in the ass, because they eventually will. You're not going to be able to keep all of these players. To your point about Carlos Correa.
Well, which contract would bite you in the ass?
I feel like Springer's is the one that is going to be the one that will ultimately not have a second contract here with the Houston Astros. Correa, I really do not know, but he has to play better. He has to stay healthy as well. And yes, maybe his play last season was a result of health, but maybe, I mean,
I mean, he's gotten off on a tear. It's he's an MVP candidate this year. It's just a matter of staying healthy. And I mean, like, it's 100% his health. That's just that. Am I wrong here?
I don't think you're wrong.
Okay. I don't think he's an MVP candidate. I don't think he is right now. I think that we could, after like a month or so, I might think otherwise, but honestly, I don't feel that way about Correa going into the season. I feel like Altuve, Bregman are much more likely people that you would put up there. Hell, I would put George Springer up there before I would put Carlos Correa.
Oh, I'm just talking about Vegas. I mean, like, Correa is like the fifth most favored guy to win the AL MVP.
Above Altuve.
Yeah. So it's just, yeah, Altuve's down at ninth or whatever. I think if Bregman, speaking of Altuve, if you're Bregman, people ask, okay, why would you do this? Where you're giving up the opportunity to get a $200 million contract 5 years from now. When you're the player yourself, this drives me nuts. It drives me crazy when people say, "Well, why don't you just wait until free agency?" When you're presented with a fortune and the risk of injury that might make your career trajectory go downward is relatively small, but it's still there. So you're presented with a fortune versus, well, the opportunity to get a bigger fortune in the future, or I might get a bunch of nagging injuries and never get that fortune at all. You take the fortune, you know, and that's where teams are smart. I think like the Astros, you present that opportunity to a guy like that you feel very bullish on. And it's really hard for Bregman to turn this down and say, well, yeah, I'm going to bet on myself and wait 5 years and get an extra $100 million.
I agree. As we're discussing the Alex Bregman extension, 5 years, $100 million. To that point, Seth, it's the proverbial really good deal for both sides, because the Astros get him more expensively, much more expensive in the next 4 years, but they get him way cheaper on the back end of the 2 years. He loses 2 years of free agency. But he's thinking to himself, hey, I'm getting $100 million and I can be a free agent when I'm 29. It's one thing if you're saying, well, I can be a free agent when I'm 31. Then you start to get nervous about some of the trends in baseball spending. But with this deal, you get this kind of money and you could be a free agent when you're still in the prime of your career.
Yeah, and that works out pretty well, as Mike Trout proved yesterday with that $430 million contract over 12 years that he signed with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim of the United States of America.
And this another thing about this whole contract, I don't know how you guys felt, but until Jim Crane started spending money, real money, on this team and the payroll in the last like year and a half or two, I had some real questions as to what that would look like. I no longer really have those questions. They were aggressive in getting Verlander here, and I know they were helped out financially, but still, they brought Verlander here a year and a half ago, and they won the World Series. They re-signed Altuve to a big long-term extension. They've paid Alex Bregman. I think the next guy in line is going to be Gerrit Cole. I am no longer worried about Jim Crane spending money. I'm not saying they'll be in the top two or three every year, but I'm not worried about Jim Crane spending money like an owner in Houston should.
Oh, no, we can push all those fears off onto Tillman Fertitta now. This is our timeline with new owners now. Are you gonna spend money on... For baseball, for the longest time, it was like, at some point Jim Crane will spend money, right? We're not sure, but he probably will, right? And we've seen that over the last couple of years. I guess I stopped. Like, were you ever concerned that they weren't going to spend reasonably with their core of young players here?
I mean,
I suppose if not retaining Dallas Keuchel, maybe that put some fear in people's minds.
Well, kind of like the Tillman Fertitta thing. I always have some doubts until I actually see it happen.
Yeah.
Until I actually see the guy cut the check and spend the money, I always have some doubts.
Yeah, you should. You should, until you see it happen. I mean, why should you believe that it will happen? There are a lot of notoriously cheap owners in sports. I point at the Cincinnati Bengals and Mike Brown, who has been just awful. I mean, like, it applies to, like, Gatorade and things when it comes to the Bengals. So, yeah, you want to actually see the guy pay for things. And remember, when the Astros first moved into the American League, I mean, that was one of the sticking points for Jim Crane actually purchasing the Astros, and he got them for a discount.
You know what? By the way, I was looking at the Bengals payrolls over the last few years. Something I got to do a deep dive into this, into a topic nobody cares about.
That sounds exciting.
Which I might have to write a blog piece about this. Like, I think they've started spending money over the last 5 or 6 years.
Okay.
Without any playoff success to show for it.
Well, they,
so, but I wonder though, if they, you combine the willingness to take on character issues plus the willingness to spend money, it might actually work out worse for the Bengals because you don't, like, you don't want to give those guys money. You want to get them on the cheap. You don't want to bring them in and then give them more money to get in more trouble with. So I don't know.
You helped me transition very easily, Seth Payne, on a Wednesday because the Texans have signed a former Bengals quarterback, A.J. McCarron, to a one-year, $3 million contract. He is the new backup quarterback for Deshaun Watson. Do you guys like the move?
I like the move because I didn't care one bit whether you got a guy that was like Deshaun Watson. I just want somebody that – these are my two requirements. Can you throw the football and can you know the playbook? And I feel confident enough that A.J. McCarron will be there. Requirement 2A, because it's not an extreme requirement, would be, all right, is this going to create any kind of quarterback controversy? Is this guy going to think that he should actually be the starter? Unless he's delusional, no, he should not.
I tweeted this out last night. A.J. McCarron is somebody that over the last 2 years has actually deserved an opportunity to start as a quarterback in this league. He got screwed over by Sashi Brown missing the trade deadline in 2017. Didn't get to go to the Cleveland Browns, who actually started guys like Kevin Hogan and Deshaun Kizer in 2017. And if you go to 2018, you're taking a look at his time with the Buffalo Bills, where he ends up getting a hairline fracture of his collarbone in the preseason. And, of course, they drafted Josh Allen as well. And ultimately, he ends up getting shipped off to the Oakland Raiders. This is a guy who, as far as backups are concerned, is someone who I feel like you could argue is maybe better than like two or three starting quarterbacks in the league, but we just haven't seen him get that opportunity. So I like the move.
Do we feel like he's an upgrade over Brandon Weeden?
Yes.
Yeah, I think
not
so.
Not even hesitation.
An upgrade in only is at least that you don't know what his upside is. Okay. Brandon Weeden, I think you knew exactly what his upside was, which was beautifully thrown balls that you couldn't predict where they'd land. He was like the buckshot of quarterbacks. Where A.J. McCarron, he doesn't throw as pretty a ball as Brandon Weeden, but I think he's got an ability to read defenses, distribute the ball. The one thing I noticed, I went back and watched a bunch yesterday. I shouldn't say a bunch. I watched the Steelers games from 2015. They had the playoff game. I don't know if you'll recall the playoff game that A.J. McCarron started. It was in a deluge.
I remember watching
it.
It
was raining and raining and raining. He threw a really ugly interception where the ball just slipped out of his hands. But in the first game in which he came in for Andy Dalton, he did some really nice things. Like he pushed the ball downfield. He was smart enough that when he saw AJ Green in single coverage, he threw the ball to AJ Green and let him go up and get it. But he also did like some of the hallmark young quarterback things where he didn't react well to disguised coverages. He threw an interception out in the flats, like a really simple no-brainer to William Gay. I think part of that was just adjusting to the speed of the game. He's had 4 years of experience since then. I like the move. He's the guy you want as your backup quarterback.
I asked a few questions about McCarron. For the record, I do like the move. I think it's an upgrade over Brandon Weeden, and I like the fact that Brian Gain went into the offseason, and while I still would have preferred signing Blake Bortles, formerly of the Jacksonville Jaguars, I like the fact that he was at least assertive in trying to upgrade that spot, which is an important one behind Deshaun Watson. The news of the morning, the Astros signing Alex Bregman. They also signed my favorite reliever to an extension, Ryan Presley. And obviously the Texans signed A.J. McCarron.